May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1126. The manna, favoured Israel's meat, was gathered day by day. When all the host was served, the heat melted the rest away. 1126.
Thank you. Let us read firstly from the Word of God, in the Gospel according to St. Luke, part of chapter 9. Commence our reading at verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's, and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses, and one for Elias," not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." When the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. We turn to the first epistle, general of Peter, a few verses in the first chapter. The first epistle, general of Peter, from chapter 1. We commence at the first verse. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, in much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, and to whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, as he which has called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. If you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth for ever, for all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth for ever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Lord bless his word. Amen. The Lord, who grants us that inward sanctification, we may appear to be what we're not without grace. Lord, who come, sanctify our hearts, draw them up, teach us to truly fear thy name and rejoice too. Seek, Lord, that thou be with sinners, also poor and needy. And Lord, we pray that thou would help us to come before thee with believing hearts. Grant us that help of the Spirit of God and live in faith. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt help us to come and to seek, Lord, that thou wilt be in the midst and that thou wilt be altogether lovely, the one thing needful. And Lord, do deliver us from carking cares and fears and unbelief. Inspire the living faith and grant a lifting up. As we have already been speaking of this morning, to grant us that renewing, that spirit, that spring that we see about us, to the reviving of our hearts and this fresh knowledge of the truth. Lord, do come, thou Son of Righteousness, and grant much sweet knowledge of Christ Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember each one. We think, O Lord, of the young ones. Pray for them each, those that are very young. Lord, our heart is up to thee, that there may be from those younger ones a seed to serve thee. What a mercy. Lord, do grant knowledge of Jesus in young hearts and in each heart. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember those who come perhaps very much in the spirit of the hymn, need something new, the same truths, but they need the renewing of them. They need the Lord to come and freshly apply the promises and grant that living faith to be in the ascendancy. Alas, we feel, O Lord, so full of unbelief. We seek, Lord, that thou to remember the brethren, remember the deacons, and the church of God, and remember us thinking of all those that truly fear and love thy name. We seek, Lord, that thou wilt command thy blessing here. And Lord, where thou hast visited, may there be much knowledge of him that comes down like the rain upon the mown grass and the dew upon the branch. We need real things. We pray, Lord, that thou would grant a springing up and a replenishing in these sad days of the Son of God with that sweet power and knowledge by the Spirit to reveal thyself. We pray for those that are held fast, that they may be delivered. And any, Lord, that are unconcerned about vital things, may have a good knowledge of the Bible, but Lord, we pray that we may not be left, each one of us, to that. As good as it is, we need application. We need thee, Lord, to come and grant that help of God to those that are ventured, and pray that thou hold their right hand, each one, saying, fear not, I will help thee. May there be, Lord, much help of God for those that gather. We think of our own cause and pray for thy blessing upon the reading service. Desire, Lord, to thank thee for thy good and kind providences. But do we not need thee, Lord, to come and crown those many benefits with that sweet savour of thy name? Broken, contrite hearts that may feel that thou dost grant them more than they deserve, body and soul. We pray, Lord, that thou would hear us as we pray we may not come, but Lord, without the help of God. Indeed, we have to cry, Lord, help me. We need thee, Lord, to come and make the place of thy feet glorious. Come with thy sweet presence and thy rich blessing. Lord, we would confess our sin by God's gracious help. feeling to be in need of that pardon and forgiveness. We hope it is so. Fresh application and sprinkling the knowledge of the blood of Jesus. Oh, may it be sweetly known. May there be, Lord, that forgiveness, sweetly known, that love to Thee, especially considering, Lord, the need of that blood of Jesus for our sin and for eternity. We pray, Lord, that we may be able to come and seek again, as surely we are bidden to do, to pray, Lord, that Thou wilt hear us for our nation and those in responsibility, for our land, but especially the light of the candlestick. Remove it not. Our sins are great. The solemn departure is known in our land, and we pray that Thou wilt make up the dreadful breach in our own heart. That, Lord, do come and hear us for our land, those that gather and seek unto their God, for our land, and for those in government too. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt arise. Grant answers of peace, much deliverance. Hear us, Lord, at this time. Grant those sweet answers, that our God may arise. We may be delivered and brought from the dreadful ways of sin unto Thee, Lord, again. That, Lord, we desire to seek much grace, to fall at Thy feet. Grant us Thy gospel and Thy grace. And Thy will be done, but we seek, Lord, to plead for Thy appearing. We desire that Thou wilt not leave us now, Lord, to pray, Lord, without faith in our hearts. Believest Thou that I am able to do this? We said unto Him, Yea, Lord. Oh, may there be, Lord, a springing up, living faith. Oh, Lord, may we have those answers of peace. Now, Lord, do grant us liberty. That sweet liberty of the Spirit that we're reminded of. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We want real liberty of the Spirit of God. Pray, Lord, that there may be that help afforded, and that Thou wilt remember us, Lord, feeling to be so much in need of Thy gracious help. We do record again Thy many mercies. Pray, Lord, for each one, and we desire that Thou wilt remember us, seeking, Lord, for that increase of Thy goodness, Thy mercies to be continued. Lord, may there be a sweet savour of Christ. And grant, Lord, we may be sweetly enabled to know the Lord is with us. And Lord, do not leave us, we pray, even for a small moment. Be mindful of us. Often it is so. But grant, Lord, that sweet gathering up of our souls and that bringing unto Jesus, we ask, in that worthy, prevailing, exalted, holy name of Jesus, we ask for His sake. Amen.
Hymn 1056. See a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul, encouraged by Thy word, at mercy's footstool would remain, and there would look, and look again. 1056. Thank you.
as God may help me. I will turn with you to the first epistle general of Peter, in chapter 1. Our text is taken in verse 8, but we will commence reading at the verse 7. Let the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, might be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. These words seem to attend on my spirit, and we desire the Lord may help us to speak just a few things this morning, at least, from these words, having not seen you love. Now, to whom are these words directed? Well, they're directed in the word of God's grace here to strangers. So many of them, but they all belonged to the Lord by grace. These are characters that were born again, maybe be found among them. These characters scattered as they were, but they were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Or may we sweetly know a little of that truth of election in our gathering. It will be unto him, won't it? The election of grace is that which is found especially in the sweet merits of Jesus, the Father's first elect. The chapter is very precious to the church of God and those that are brought to know the Lord. There are those sweet exhortations by the Spirit of God and through the Lord's servant Peter. A sinner saved by grace. He could speak, friends, of things he handled, tasted and felt. The time came when he should preach those things that he had been instructed in and taught of God's Spirit. Friends, he was a man of knowledge. Perhaps he was given gifts, but the vital issue is this, that God was with him and raised him up to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, how he loved to speak of the riches of Christ. And it's if the chapter here belongs to the Lord and these troubled hearts he's appointed to write to, scattered as they were, perhaps in their souls too, if we notice the word. Perhaps these are very much types of the living family of God that sometimes are brought so low. No matter what God has done, they need that renewing. We've been singing of it. I like that hymn. In that manner, nor can the best experience pass the life of faith maintain. The brightest hope will faint at last unless supplied again. That's the searching truth, friends. Nominal faith will leave us short and we'll be deceived by it. Living faith, it needs the fresh application and the blessing of God by the sweet Spirit of God to reach their soul, to attend to the cries of their heart, and to come where they are, the living family of God, perhaps scattered as they are here, speaks of the election of grace throughout the earth, of seed that God has chosen and he will bless. They are the election of grace. Now, when God begins a work of heavenly grace, there's a love to the truth, however it searches the heart, however it may bring us to the mercy seat with a solemn feeling of being so destitute. There's something I maintain, friends, and that is this. When the new birth is given, there's love to the truth. There's love to the Lord. It's in that new birth. And it's all from heaven. It's all according to the riches of God's grace. We're not born with it. We must be born again to know that beginning of the Lord in our heart, to move our hearts by faith and love. The Lord help me to speak of it, friends, in the solemn reality of it. There is a vital need of that knowledge of Christ. The dear man of God seems to dwell upon it so much, doesn't he? And as much as he gets to those high points, he seems to come here by the Spirit to those that are struggling, those that feel to be in the trial of their faith. And we read of it here, if need be, are in heaviness through manifold temptations, as if they are especially remembered. Manifold temptations. Friends, I don't think religion's much worth, really, without some knowledge of the tempter's power, but we don't build on that. But we speak of it as being in God's hand, an instrument to bring us more and more on the sweet merits of Christ Jesus by living faith, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, perishes with this world, won't it? Although it is a very wonderful thing indeed, the matter in our text is that's gold in the heart, isn't it? He might have speaks of it in the furnace. Any like that? But I mean, really so, friends. Not necessarily knowing the sentiments of it, but they do need the Lord to come. They need a reassurance, perhaps. They need the Lord to come and visit them as only he can. He can only visit the poor and needy, friends, with salvation. By the blessed Spirit, we have the letter, the word, the truth, the hymns. Is it not the vital application? Something to the soul to grant that sweet reviving and that blessing as we gather on the Sabbath day. Friends, the desire of our heart, surely, if we are quickened by grace, is we need something outside of ourselves. We need to come down. We need the Lord to be pleased to visit us with his salvation and grace and the truth of it. Now, there's things here that have come on my mind. We're not our own. Whom having not seen ye love, as if there's something there that seems to spring up a little. Gathering up these characters that perhaps are in the furnace of temptation and trouble of soul. Whom having not seen ye love. Well, it's a good word, isn't it? We haven't seen the Lord like those dear saints of God, but do we know something of seeing him by faith? And that's the subject of it. Oh, that sweet view by God-given faith. That sweet view of Jesus Christ to the satisfying of the living soul. The sweet renewing of that hope. Is it? It's what the Lord does in a moment sometimes, isn't it? But then sometimes he refines his people in the fires. Much need of refining. The Lord grant it, that we may not be left destitute. Not so easy to walk it out. But the trial of your faith, much more precious. Now it goes on to say, at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love. So I want to gather up my thoughts a little there. The spirit of the world is this, isn't it? And we're no different. By nature. We won't receive anything unless we can see it or understand it. Or it has to fit with our poor fallen minds and hearts. Because we have to lose it. This is the very nature of faith. And having not seen you love, you might say that grain of faith, little faith, the Lord speaks of that too. Now he sends a word, whom having not seen, ye love. As if it gathers up these strangers and pilgrims and those that do need the Lord so much. Indeed, I was thinking of that chapter we have read from in the Gospel there. Perhaps we may just touch upon it as it seems to come on our minds. So he took Peter and James and John and went up. And has he prayed? Sweet truth, isn't it? For his dear people. The fashion of his drought countenance was altered and so on. That they were heavy with sleep. Peter here, the author of the epistle, he said, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles. Something wrong with that. But he learned differently, didn't he? Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. It must not be. It's Jesus only, isn't it? And the preaching of the gospel and the knowledge of the Lord. It's Jesus only. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, I want to hasten because I mustn't get away from my thoughts. There was this cloud that overshadowed them. Thinking about it in the word of our text. In the trial of your faith. And the cloud that is spoken of here, it belongs to these pilgrims, you know. It's their sin, isn't it? And their need of the Lord. What a great matter that is. And then they feared as they entered into the cloud, perhaps again, knowing something, what bondage is, and the trial of their faith, fresh troubles and sorrows perhaps, or fresh times of trial. It's in the furnace, isn't it? We don't speak lightly about it. When the mind is dark and faith is at a low ebb, hearts of God's people sometimes get so low, very troubled. Satan's not far away then. To cause despair and so on. I know these sentiments are known, but friends, perhaps they're known especially again. Some may even be in a snare of Satan without realising it, thinking that it's real, that they're not among the people of God. They're not belonging to him. Their poor hearts go with Satan's temptation. Best to go back in the world or to have something lighter, more easier, the natural mind, something that will accommodate our poor fallen nature, or that spirit of it. Friends, we can't speak so much of it. It's the dreadful nature, isn't it, of darkness. trial of your faith, the coldness known in the heart, and the dreadful alienation, until we might be persuaded that God has never done anything for us, or that we're too bad for him, friend. The Lord grant a little sweet knowledge of our texts, any that are especially in some great trial of their faith, whatever way it may be, whatever God may use. And one of those things, I must swiftly come, friends, is when we can't lay straight God's dealings with us. We think, well, the Lord will surely not leave us to walk in such a trial without the nearness of his presence and deliverance. Friends, it's a set time, isn't it? Until then, there's a trial of your faith, in much more precious than of gold that perisheth. It's walking it out. Or we can't say the trial of our faith is a wonderful thing when we're in the furnace. We wonder if we've got anything. Faith is at a low ebb, but there is perhaps a vital application. That's when dear Lord appears. Faith, friends, is renewed then. It must be so. He's the author of it. It's in his mercy. It's that vital increase of it, that springing up, the truth of it. Perhaps we touch upon it in our thoughts here in the chapter. While he thus spake, maybe the minister or the word of God is sweetly known. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. They soon come up, clouds, don't they? So it is. There's these elect, these saints of God, really, but they can't think they're one of them. Cloud, darkness of it. Hides the dear Saviour, doesn't it? From their sight. And they begin to feel the worst. That they're altogether cast off by God. Their sins are great. They believe that. And Satan will preach it too. And say, go a little further and say, your sins are too bad. You wouldn't be like this if you were one of the Lord's dear people, or even his lambs, or among his sheep. Friends, the poor shall have the gospel preached. The Lord will have the last word. And there's plenty of good words in our text for those that may be brought so low. The Lord apply it. They feared as they entered into the cloud. Clouds and darkness are round about his throne, aren't they? I mean, the throne of grace, if we be able to speak like that. Ah, the trouble is in ourselves, isn't it? The need of that increase of living faith. That's what's in our subject. Faith is always joined with love in God's account. Does he give faith? He certainly will give love. And then putting it the other way, friends, do you love his name or his truth? I've said sometimes, there's a sweet hymn, 365, is it? They love the road and coming up to God's house with hearts of expectation once they were going the opposite way. Or thinking we could deceive the Lord as we deceived our parents. Ah, friends, it's that turning about, isn't it? And that turning upside down, really, until we're brought on mercy's ground. And then that is here a little and there a little sometimes. Line upon line, precept upon precept. We want it different, wouldn't we? We want to be altogether able to But leave all that unbelief behind, and the Lord sees fit to plague his people with it. And the trial of their faith is very great. It's not too great for him. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? I must swiftly think again of that word. They feared as they entered into the cloud. So it may be, it attends my mind. So we come to the word especially before us in this well-known chapter, but it's those truths, isn't it, that are learned again and again. Without me you can do nothing. Whom have you not seen? As if it may be spoken of as raking over the coals a little. Until there's a little glowing in our hearts toward the Lord. Until there's a little springing up. We read of those on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus drew near and hearts burned within them. What he taught with them by the way. It's his love, wasn't it? His sweet grace. On that Emmaus road. Friends, it must overtake these poor characters. I've said about it before. There's something real in it. Whom having not seen, he loved. And of course, those dear women that came and found the tomb empty, and the disciples too, and they could not find the Lord, but soon he appeared. Have we not seen you, love? In whom? Little faith, you know, it lights those little things as God grants it. Those sweet tokens. They may be so small, but they mean so much. In whom? Not in self, but in Christ. In the Lord. Faith, it looks again and again to the Lord Jesus. Whom have you not seen ye love? Love is appearing. Something I just speak about, friends. The Lord kindles again that love because the fire burns. It's us that need renewing. The Lord to grant a little of that fullness of Jesus Christ to these characters to supply their need, especially in the furnace, in the trouble. That may be known in the path of providence with the path of faith. Deem not a faith so clear as shuts all doubtings out. One thing very hard to walk in, and that is when there is that expectation that faith shall surely prevail, and then things are turned over. It's then we need living faith. It's a good word, whom having not seen for many days, many months. I think of the account in Acts, many days. Ye love, may the Lord appear. That sweet increase of the love of God in our hearts will kindle our love. The love of God, immense, free. That's a sweet hymn about the love of Christ, isn't it? Fixed on his own eternally. Doesn't matter how low they get. Oh, the Lord keep us, you know. The Lord do not leave us to put his name to our sin and our wretchedness. I'll make a distinction. We need to be careful about it. We need to be brought up and delivered and set again upon the finished work of Jesus, not half finished by us, but finished by the Son of God, for such poor souls as we. Having not seen, you love. Well, the Lord grant there may be a sweet gathering up of this love, friends, the truth of it. Well, let me notice, it's what love has done, isn't it? So sweetly attracts these guilty souls. They can't do anything. But it's that love that draws their hearts up, because God is love, especially as we think of this sweet person, of the Son of God. Maybe not seen, ye love. Perhaps it's come into these two words, ye love, as if there's something we may be tempted to forget. Friends, has there not been a time when we've loved him in the day of his spousals, and our heart's been gathered up and drawn out unto him? Or it may be in some little measure, but then there's room for increase, isn't there? And have you not seen ye love in whom? Though now you see him not, we've dwelt quite a bit on that. Though now you see him not, the cloud, the darkness. And I'm not one to preach it up, friends. Make a great grace of it. We need to be right about it. It's sin, isn't it? Hides the dear Saviour. It's unbelief. And we must be very careful about it. The matter is this, we need to be delivered from it. That's the love that God works in the heart, to be delivered from it. With that dear man that said, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. What a help he needed. Perhaps there's some like that. Help thou mine unbelief. I know these sentiments are very often repeated, but that's how needful they are. And have you not seen, ye love, something else? In whom only. Though now you see him not, yet believing. What does it mean? Friends, it's what God works in the heart, isn't it? I mean a believing heart. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now there's much error, and much which is not according to the sweet sentiments of free and saving grace. Yet believing. But it's not nominal faith. Because that will leave us short. It's living faith that lives as the Son of God lives. Because I live, ye shall live also. It's in him, isn't it? These are characters, friends. God begins to revive their hearts a little. The matter is this. There's a sweet exhortation that although so bad and so ruined, yet there is still the love that God bears to sinners. Or maybe put our claim there. However low, however poor, oh, that love, friends, it cannot be copied. It is what God works in the heart, and it turns the feet to Zion's hill. It does. It turns us to the ways of the Lord with purpose of heart and desire of soul. Not just to be out of perdition, but, friends, to be near him. To know him, to know that sweet knowledge of his love to worthless sinners. And they cannot love without his love. And what a great love that is. He loves beyond degree. Now it is thus appointed by the Father that these souls should be brought to this sweet truth by grace, in whom you believe. Its purpose of the Father and the counsels of Jehovah, these strangers and pilgrims, worse than that, they're traitors and his foes. They're guilty of his death, the death of Christ. But then, friends, these things are in the wonderful things that we read about. All things work together for good to them that love God. Oh, the depth of it. These characters are no better than those that passed the nails and those that crucified him. Away with him. We'll not have this man, but now, subdued by sovereign grace, because they can't tell why it is, except their hearts are up to God, to the highway, and they love the very truth, though it may try their hearts, so though they may be brought to feel their sin and guilt, and to know it again and again. And have not seen you, love. It's a good word. In whom, though now you see him not, friends, only the gospel can proclaim those things that are beyond the poor creature, the best of them, the most upright, most favoured. Still, friends, it's only in Jesus to learn it, do we not? My hope is built on nothing less. He's used blood and righteousness. Sweet theme. There's that sweet springing up of love to the very person of the Lord Jesus. In the want of him, the need of him. And the need is so great we have to seek the board of his garment and to plead for his namesake. Or even God's dealings. There's that sweet witness in the heart. Oh, to be like those dear characters that perhaps you admire now and take knowledge indeed that they have been with Jesus, but feel so barren. I'm going to say every day the hymn writer speaks of it. And yet, friends, there's love, isn't there? Put it to the test. Would you see those dear characters that you love being assaulted or being particularly maligned? You say, I must stand up for them. Friends, it's like that sometimes. There's that sweet desire to be found with them, whatever the cost may be, to love the Lord and his people too. Now, friends, it refines the heart, you know. It's that love intense. It's that sweet spirit of love. Friends, it's the love by which God loves his people. And it's in that river of it that reaches in the stream. To these poor characters, who have not seen any love. In whom though now you see him not, yet believing. There's something that I want to touch upon. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's occupied my mind. We need to be delivered from the spirit of unbelief. Now, it can be like this. Well, I love the Lord, yes. I do trust, I do in some respect. I can't reach to the high notes. Therefore it doesn't apply to me. Friends, there's something awfully wrong when sinners are left to that dreadful spirit of unbelief. Say, well, it's a good text, but it says rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Friends, let us look at it by the Spirit of God's grace. Oh, to be kept from that root of unbelief, friends, that will really find fault with the sweet sentiments here. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, what does it mean? I speak to young ones for a moment. You may hear, they grow up and hear of all these winnings, you know what I mean? I'm speaking very carefully. And some are swelled out in their minds and hearts and lives. They've won whatever it is. Well, it's not much really, is it? But it's this Spirit, let me try and gather up these hearts. You might be able to understand what these words mean. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, it's by experience, friends, to know the worth and merit of the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just bring you to that thought again. Those dear characters, their hearts sometimes are pained because they hear, especially, being honestly, I feel grief when people buy their tickets in the shop. My heart is grieved about it. Not that I'm any better, but it's this, isn't it? Your heart and mine by grace, give me Christ. The riches of my God. The poor. The worthless. The guilty and also the impoverished. We read of that character, tried to think about him. He spent all, didn't he? There was plenty for him in his father's house. Back he had to come. That's it. No question about it. God works it. In the gospel, didn't have time to speak of it recently. Friends, that the man was in want. There's plenty with his God and his father. His eye was looking out for him instead, bringing him back. What do we read? The Father's good hand, bring forth the best robe. Best robe. Oh, friends, it's the robe of righteousness, isn't it? The sweet truth of it. For those that have sinned against their Father's house, and heaven too, they have. But they're not turned back. They're sweetly encouraged. And it's love in their hearts to their father's house. They can only see that they're the worst. No elder spirit attitude with them is that they could be where they might find rest for their souls and be able to find mercy. And after all, they need the Lord to clothe them. And they need those garments, don't they? And shoes for their feet that they might come in that living way. However hard and rugged, thy shoes will be iron and brass. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Returning sinner. Have we not seen his love? Seen his father's house afar off? And the spreading of his table, perhaps? And the sweet truth as it is, that banquet for sinners, that truth as it is in the rich provision of God for the, we've sung, haven't we, of the hungry, the manna and so on. It really comes into it, doesn't it? And have you not seen, he loved such a feast spread for the hungry and those that are ready to perish. Then there is also that sweet application of the wine of the kingdom to revive the hearts and the forgiving love of Christ, that's a sweet thing, dear. Maybe not seen it, Lord, afar off, but does it not draw your heart up? I think the hymn writer says, be that religion mine. I think that worked in my heart years and years ago. But still there's so much loosening and delivering. What does it? The law? All it does is magnifies our offences. Am I right? What does deliver? It's his love, isn't it? Immense, how free. Oh, to deliver them from the riches of his grace, and that the love of Christ is a sweet theme, isn't it? To bid the poor guilty sinner to come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. And that's how it strikes me, friends. A difference here between those that are soon turned away by the power of unbelief. It's nothing to do with me. I'm not chosen. It's not anything to do with me because the Lord hasn't worked in my heart. Friends, there's something awfully wrong about it. We've got enough wrong in our own hearts, but these characters, they don't walk like that. They need the Lord to be all in all. They need him to put away their sin. As far as the east is from the west, so great it is. One thing characterises them. They love his name. They love his person. They love his precious blood. They need it so much that they count that more than all the world can put together. A sweet knowledge of the love of Christ, his dying love, the truth of it. So there's something I lay down, friends, very clearly. Those that walk in this spirit of unbelief, in and out, and come and go and say, well, I've never called, I was never meant to be, or whatever way they put it, something sinfully wrong about it. It needs the Lord to turn these hearts and to bring them upon the merits of Jesus. That's it. Go unto Joseph, ask of him, spread your load at Jesus' feet. A principle. Oh, friends, we don't want to die like that. Being left to this spirit, a wretched spirit of unbelief. Well, the Lord didn't meet with me. Friends, every day there's evidence of the Lord's power, his being, his holiness, and we need hearts to understand it. Even by that word, by these things, men live, sanctifying, bringing these characters. Oh, to feel that they're so sinfully undone that they have to seek unto the highway. They have to seek the Lord to come, assure their conscience of its part in the Redeemer's blood. Now, I can't put it as I would, friends. It's this power, the dominion of it. It's that which is of the kingdom of God. And it's in him. Have you not seen his love? Something very precious when the heart is delivered from every false notion, a spirit of excuse, and they all began to make excuse. I'm choosing my words in this, that there is either a quickening or a deadening of the soul. Nearer we get to eternity. Those that are born again, that word is very precious. You're actually quickened. Sweet answer, isn't it, to all the deadness. Known and felt. Those that are dead, friends, they die in their sin. Awfully solemn state. And pretend that everything is quite all right, really. No, friends, it isn't. No, I preach to myself. I hope I know something of this word. Whom have you not seen, ye love? It's a good word. In whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. And that is all of God's grace, isn't it? It's that increase of faith. Believing hearts, it's in the new birth. But then there's the way the Lord expands it. It's that going out unto him, that learning of him, that deeper knowledge of him. So suitable for wretched, undone sinners that they didn't know half when they were first quickened into grace. Oh, what wretched sinners. And yet, they are so sweetly spoken of as being among those that receiving the end of your faith. What is it? Friends, in my poor understanding, it's Christ. The Alpha and Omega too. Oh, the end of your faith, friends, it really is this. It's either a full and precious Jesus for the most unworthy. Either that he is that desire of your heart by grace, or left to some false notion that it will be well because things usually turn out all right. Friends, a deceit of Satan. But we need to be well taught our need of Christ. By the things that perhaps may belong to us in life's journey, or the inward teaching of God's Spirit. Receiving the end of your faith. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now it's well when the Lord breaks through the darkness. A little renewing might be in the middle of the night sometimes. Receiving the end of your faith, whatever way the Lord may be pleased to grant that sweet knowledge of the Son of Righteousness. Says, with healing in his wings, the power and guilt of sin. Even the salvation of your soul. Well, the matter is this, friends, it's received by faith when it's enlarged, when it's in exercise. It's that sweet desire to be with him. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls by precious faith. It's like this, isn't it? If I have him, I've got everything. Oh, but how we fail to come short. We need the Lord to grant us the real matter and to bring us right at last, no matter what we preach and whatever we say about it. We need the root of the matter. Hear us too. We need real things to leave this world with. Receiving the end of your faith, may the Lord grant it. Even the salvation of your souls and the sweet knowledge of the sufficiency, the atonement of it, we must leave it. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, the fullness of it. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £745, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Good Friday morning, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Charles Warboys, who also hopes to administer the Lord's Supper and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 949. There's not a name beneath the skies, nor is there one in heaven above, but that of Jesus can suffice the sinner's burden to remove. 949.
gather up loved ones not with us, with all those that may be prevented and unable to be in thy house. We pray for them each. Seek, Lord, that thou remember us and do forgive all amiss. Now may the grace of thee, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.